This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for a look back on today's match. This is the Full Time Report with the voices of our Atlanta United, Mike Conti and Jason Longshore.
Atlanta United is brought to you by Piedmont Quick Care. One stop to better. Country Financial. Don't get overwhelmed. Get started at TakeSimpleSteps.com. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Heineken, Aaron's, the perfect choice for your budget and style with top brands in furniture, electronics, and appliances. Scana, the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. AT&T, more for your thing. That's our thing. Associated Credit Union, Equifax, proud partner of your Atlanta United and your local Ford dealer. Our Atlanta United are on Star 94.1.
So Atlanta United coming from behind to salvage a draw this evening to Philadelphia Union, 1-1 the final. I'm starting to come around a little bit now after having a couple minutes to cool off there during that commercial break. You want to score more than one goal against Philadelphia. You want to have more than two goals in three league matches right now. You want it to be less sloppy, more precise. But Atlanta United played a lot better than they did a week ago tonight when they drew with Cincinnati 1-1.
I don't even feel like it's a comparison between the two. Atlanta was better in the 90 minutes. Philadelphia's goal came off a deflection and off a turnover. And we talked about it at halftime. If you're going to play with this much possession and this open, you cannot have turnovers in your own half or in the midfield, like right around the midfield stripe. And that turnover led to the goal. Atlanta was fighting uphill from there. You didn't get enough going forward. You had 10 chances created. You had two shots on goal, one off the crossbar. Have to get more with that much possession. It has to be more. Ezequiel Barco's inclusion did change things up, and then I felt like they almost went away from him as the half went on after he came in. Somebody has to take charge, I think, in the final third. And right now, I don't know who that is.
Well, I think the one positive you can continue to take from the way Atlanta United has played over the first month of the season across all competitions, they've defended very well, even with tired legs.
Yes.
And Philadelphia Union, I felt, limited to only two very good chances tonight. One they converted on, Aaronson in the 47th minute. But back in the first half, Miles Robinson saved a goal off the line. And Miles is our man of the match again tonight, brought to you by Heineken. Passed at 86%, 1-2 fouls, 98 touches. And just as he dominated Rogelio Funes Mori on Wednesday, tonight felt like, for the most part, dominant against Corey Burke and Fafa Pico.
Yeah, he traded off. He'd take one for a while, take the other for a while. I mean, Robinson's been Atlanta United's best player in the first month of the season. He still has some room to grow, and you even saw the tired legs affecting him with a couple mistakes at the end. But Miles Robinson is a starting center back, I think, for the rest of the 2019 season. And that brings up a question when Atlanta United shifts to a four-man back line, as Frank DeBoer kind of hinted at after the Monterrey match. Who's it going to be?
Right.
And these are the things we're going to have to wait and see until this team gets fully healthy.
I think the problem is, though, and I've already seen a couple tweets to this effect, the 17s out there are saying, yeah, it's great, Miles, man of the match again. But we want to see Pity Martinez be the man
of
the match.
Of course.
We want to see Joseph Martinez or Ezequiel Barco be the man of the match. And right now, your best players are your defenders.
Well, Ezequiel Barco could have been your man of the match.
He didn't play long enough tonight.
Yeah. He was your most impactful. But, yes, I would give that to Miles because of his overall performance. I think, again, you have to make some decisions about who is going to take charge of this team in the attack. Joseph is not exactly that player because of his role, although we're seeing more of that from him than we've ever seen in an Atlanta United kit. Pity Martinez is not 100%. He's not comfortable right now. He's playing himself into shape, and I really hope that some time away with the Argentine national team can kind of help get him out of his funk a little bit. Again, flashes, not enough tonight. Flashes, he did go the full 90 tonight. Ezekiel Barco, more and more to me, is growing into that player. I don't think Tito Villalba is that player either. I think he's comfortable playing as a second, at playing off of the main player. I really think it's Ezekiel Barco more and more, and I don't know if that's going to be from the wing cutting in or if that's going to be as a number 10, but it's been Barco in this last week who has looked the most dangerous.
All right, let's look at the final stats again with Miles Robinson, the man of the match, brought to you by Heineken. 12 shots for Atlanta United, 11 for Philadelphia Union, only 2 shots on target for Atlanta United, 3 for Philadelphia Union. But these are the numbers that really matter. 72-28 possession in favor of Atlanta United. Atlanta United passed at 87%. Philadelphia passed at only 66% tonight. Philadelphia won 5 more duels than Atlanta United. Crosses, 11 second-half crosses, 15 on the game for Atlanta United. That's not really the way you want to generate scoring opportunities, but to Philadelphia's credit, that's what Atlanta was reduced to in the second half.
Well, that's what Philadelphia gave them, and Julian Gressel made the most of it. He had 6. He had the one good cross that led to the goal. He had some other very dangerous crosses that Andre Blake handled well. But, yeah, that's a lower percentage play. Darlington Nagbe wasn't able to build on his strong performance against Monterrey. I thought he kind of drifted in and out of the match, found some life late. I really want to see this team rested, and I want to see this team after more time to work on the tactical things that are not flowing the way we want to see. That match in Columbus falls in an awkward time in the middle where you're not going to have the full group for a week. You're going to miss your attack. I think you can shore up your defense. Hopefully you can get Franco Escobar into the rotation and figure out how that looks. And then after the Columbus game, you'll have a full 2 weeks to prepare with everybody.
All right, let's hear from Frank DeBoer down at the podium.
Get our men in the midfield free. So the first 30 minutes, wasn't the type of play that we wanted to see. After that, I think when we went to 4-4-2, we're getting more into the game. And directly, I think after we did that, I think Joseph Martinez, had a big chance to when he hit the crossbar. And so, it was a little bit finding the spaces where we could. And, of course, they let us, the last 3 center backs had the ball. And, then you don't create nothing. And so I think after those 30 minutes, we're getting better in the game. And we also created more chances or threats, doesn't have to always admit that, you have to have a 100% chance but also for me, opportunities to get it in 100% chance is for me also a chance. And we did it much better the second half. So I think we were a little bit unfortunately that we conceded that sloppy goal against us because, I had really the feeling that, they were getting tired, more tired than us. And I already said to my team, after this game, so, I have to give you a compliment that you still, straightened your back and tried to push forward because they didn't play those 4 extra games, during this period. And so every 3 or 4 days we have had a game, and and then you see that we just missing that little bit freshness, to make the difference, to get that pass to the right man or at the right speed and everything, or that first control. So we make still too many errors when it's not necessary in my point of view, and I think that's the reason. I think mostly is, because, the freshness that we're missing right now. So hopefully after this international period, we can see a fresh United. Of course, one of our major players going to play abroad, but still, I think we're going to see a fresh Atlanta United and with better choices on the ball. And so... 1-1 is a very disappointed result for everybody who loves Atlanta United. But still, they can also be proud, you know, for the team who, you know, straightened the back also when they were 1-0 down and tried to force at the end, you know, the winning goal. And again, it's not easy when you play that much games and you're tired. You know, the players are really, really tired right now. So they deserve 2 days off, I think.
Eric on the right.
Despite seeing, despite players being tired, are you seeing progress? And is Pitty in a bad run of form right now, or is he still getting used to his new or his?
Of course, you know, he has to get you, and he knows also this wasn't his best game. Everybody can see that, and he know, and he can play much and much better, and he has to play much better. But you know, it's also, you know, he has to adapt and everything, a new culture. New circumstances, the turf, you know, is also something he never played almost, and, you know, in Argentina they always play on grass, so all those aspects, you know, make it quite difficult, you know, to start normally as well if you want, you know, but we know everybody is a fantastic quality player and a fantastic person, so we have to have patience with him.
All right, so Frank DeBoer downstairs in his post-match media availability. I think on the same page as us, Atlanta United is sloppy right now, but they're tired, and it goes hand in hand.
Yeah, it showed. I mean, I think he makes a strong point. You know, they've played 4 more matches in Philadelphia. I mean, it adds up. It's absolutely there.
With a lot of travel, too.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. This is...
And let me interrupt you for 1 second, because I'm seeing people on Twitter saying, well, now, wait a minute, in 2017, when you had all those matches at the end of the year...
You didn't travel.
Exactly.
And it was in September. It wasn't at the beginning of the season.
Totally different. You were at home for all of it.
Even beyond that, it wasn't at the beginning of the season. You had worked in the same way for the whole year. You were ready for that. You also didn't have many games in August ahead of it, so you could prepare tactically. And you actually took that as almost like another preseason to get ready physically for it. This is a completely different situation.
And it's a situation where, if you make an assumption that you do not fully train the day after a match or the day before, Atlanta United has only had 3 full days to train with everyone in the last 24 days.
It's very, very difficult.
With a new manager and a player, like Frank DeBoer mentioned, and Pity Martinez still trying to get used to everything here playing in MLS. A lot of explanations. This was better than last Sunday. It may, in some ways, have even been better than last Wednesday. But Atlanta United settles for a draw, and as Frank DeBoer said, that's disappointing for those of us who know and love this team very much. Go ahead and keep tweeting us your comments at MikeConti929 and at Longshoe. Highlights coming up next. Atlanta United and Philadelphia Union playing to a 1-1 draw on Star 94.1.
Back to the full-time report
on Star 94.1.
Tell you what, I'm looking forward to having fun music return to the full-time report at some point. Got to start getting wins. 1-1 draw. This evening here, Atlanta United and Philadelphia Union. We're going to get back to your Twitter comments in the next segment, but I'm already clapping back at some people right now. I'm just not here for it. I am not here for this right now. And look, I understand, you know, it's a win-every-match mentality here because you are the champion, and I do get it. But I feel as though some of the credit – well, I'll just take one really quickly before we go to the highlights. Shiva, who I love. We love Shiva, comes, joins us at stoppage time, love the comments, says we're making excuses for Atlanta United because Red Bulls and Houston were both winners this weekend. They don't have new managers,
that's
I recall.
One big part
they
of it.
They aren't replacing their number 10 from last year, from what I recall, and Houston's travel is completely incomparable to Atlanta's travel.
Yeah,
Houston going to Monterey is, what, like a 45-minute flight?
Right. Houston had it a little bit easier travel-wise. Red Bulls had a much easier first round. Well, Houston did, too, even though they had to battle through Guastatoya and CONCACAF.
Right.
Red Bulls had Atletico Pantoja in the Dominican Republic, where they really didn't have to get out of, you know, first gear to get past that. That does help. It does help. But the new manager and a new key player are the bigger issues here.
Yeah, and I don't mean to dismiss the criticism.
100%.
It's justified. You want to have more goals. You you want things to be better, less sloppy. I'm not trying to dismiss it. What I'm saying, though, is if you're going to make comments, you got to be factual and fair and not just throw out platitudes about how bad everything is and pin the blame all on one particular person. Just not here for that. All right, let's move to happier things.
Let's do that.
The highlight, shall we? First half played to a stalemate. Both teams had five shots. Only one of them was on target, and it was Miles Robinson who may have saved a point for Atlanta United because he made a big play right before halftime to save what would have been a goal. They'll send it back in the middle to Larenowitz. Joseph not cleared to return yet. Here's Rometty at the halfway line, dribbling forward up to Petey. Joseph's back on the pitch now. Interception. Here's Aronson sending it back down the middle to Fafa. Pico is onside, dribbles in, shoots, and it's cleared off the line by Miles Robinson, and the flag never came up. Big play by Miles to track back and somehow keep it in play, giving it to Brad Guzan. And then a few minutes later, Atlanta United, who did not have a shot officially on target in the first half, created the best scoring opportunity for either team in the first half when Joseph Martinez hit a header off the crossbar. As LGP is the most central of the three center backs now, and he plays it to Parkhurst on the left wing. So this is interesting. Sends it through to PT Martinez, edge of the 18. Crosses for Joseph. Shot off the crossbar. Bounces back towards Nagby, cleared by Madunyanin. Scoreless at halftime after all that.
Yeah, it was interesting. You started in what really looked like a 3-3-1-3, very narrow, because Philadelphia has played very narrow in their first two matches. It makes sense. You try to overload the middle where they're going to try to clog it as well. Wasn't working, and there wasn't a need to have the center backs you did because they were dropping off. So you slide Michael Parkhurst over to left back, and he actually created a lot from that position. And that whole sequence that led to the shot off the bar started with a Michael Parkhurst pass that split the lines.
All right, so after halftime, Philadelphia Union makes one change. They take the injured Warren Cravall off. They put in Derek Jones, and only a few seconds into the second half, Philadelphia Union takes advantage of a mistake to draw first blood in the match. Guzan then clears it up to Gressel on the far touchline. Gressel is dispossessed. Played back down the middle where it's controlled by Fafa Pico. In the middle, Aronson has space at the top of the arc. Dribbles in, shoots, scores. Brad Guzan was totally fooled. And it's 1-0 Philadelphia Union in the 47th minute. And what a replay later showed was that Brad Aronson somehow struck it through the legs of Leandro Gonzalez Perez, and it took a deflection off really his thigh or right, the inside of his leg. That's why Brad was completely fooled and may have even been screened a little bit by LGP. But what started that play was a giveaway in the defensive third by Atlanta United. And when we talk about the sloppiness, there have been some problems, especially by the midfield, with some very ill-timed giveaways.
It's a giveaway on the edge of the final third, and Philadelphia is able to find Aronson quickly. He takes the shot through a defender, takes a deflection, beats Guzan. That's how you concede off a deflection.
From that point in the 47th minute, it felt like Atlanta United had the ball the rest of the match. Possession ended up 72-28 in favor of Atlanta United. It felt like 90-10 in the final 40 minutes of the match, and Atlanta United did break through to equalize a beautiful team goal in the 70th minute. 69th minute, back to Nagby, through traffic, off to Barco, comes down the left wing again, into the attacking third, Ezekiel Barco, like he shot out of a cannon, to the top of the 18, to Nagby, top of the arc, left off to Larenowitz, over to Gressel, in the far corner, here's his cross, Barco heads it, scores! Beautiful team goal by Atlanta United to pull even in the 70th minute. And that's what can happen when you finally connect those passes in the final third, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Ezekiel Barco linking everything together. He starts with him and it finishes with him. And he continued his run off the ball. And that's something that was not happening enough in the first half or early in the second half. The movement off the ball needed to be more dynamic. Barco brought that energy.
That was the hot play of the match brought to you by Scana, and both teams would play it out to a 1-1 draw from there. Atlanta United wants to remind you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they'll donate $2,000 to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. This year's donation total is currently $0. One final chance to get your Twitter feedback into us. Tweet us at MikeConti929 and at Longshoe, and we'll get to that right after this on the full-time report. As Atlanta United plays to a 1-1 draw with Philadelphia Union on Star 94.1.
Back with more full-time report on Star 94.1.
Well, last Sunday here at the Benz, you had a draw that felt like a loss. Tonight, you had a draw that felt like a draw. 1-1, Atlanta United and Philadelphia Union. Everything is better when Atlanta United wins. To date, a total of $0 has been donated to Piedmont Healthcare. As a not-for-profit hospital system, Piedmont Healthcare relies on the generosity of donors to expand healthcare services in our community. Atlanta United is proud to be a Piedmont donor. All right. Thank you for tweeting at us. Let's get to your feedback.
Let's do this.
Nathan Pugh, so flat in the first half, definitely grew into it and played well in the second half, save for Guzan's flat-footedness, which we have already explained, and it was very hard to see live, and it was the goal right in front of us.
Yeah.
That shot by Aronson, and it's not an own goal, but it took a deflection off the inside of Leandro Gonzalez Pires's knee. Nothing really Brad could have done there, and that's why he kind of fell back in despair.
Yeah, absolutely, because he's stepping to the left where the shot's going. I think the shot's on goal, and that's why, if there's any question from a statistician standpoint, if it's on goal when it takes a deflection, you give the goal. If it is clearly not on goal, the ball's going nowhere near the goal and it goes in, that should be the own goal.
Sean Vergara, only good thing from tonight is Miles Robinson is a beast. We are tired, it's clear. But we need to rotate guys sloppy all over the field.
The rotation thing is an issue, and I don't think we're going to truly get it until later in the season, to be honest, because Frank DeBoer has had this group since, the middle of January, and he's had 7 matches to play in that time, plus the preseason matches. He's still getting to know this group, to be honest. And today, he asked a lot of this group early on with a formation and a lineup that was definitely different. And I thought they figured it out as the half went on. You ended the first half better than you started it.
All right, question about rotation. Mm-hmm. Let's look at some of the areas right now where you have guys that are out of gas. Eric Rometty.
Eric Rometty is the one that I would start with.
Out of gas. Okay, well, what would be your options to rotate the midfield right now, keeping in mind that Kevin Kratz did not become available for you until the Monterey match a week ago Wednesday?
That's the one outside of Jeff Lorenowitz, who also looks gassed.
But he has to play center back right now at times because you are missing 2 right backs. Franco Escobar being one. You were missing Julian Gressel for a little while, short term. And you're missing George Bello, which means you had to really rely a lot on Breck Shea. And tonight, you had a very, very different look coming down the left side, where at one point it even looked like Michael Parkhurst was playing.
Well, no, it was, because you went to a 4-4-2, and that was something that DeBoer mentioned, and it was better. I mean, flat out, if you want to tell me that at the start of the first half, after you saw what Philly was going to do, and we just went through some of the Opta numbers, Philly was incredibly narrow. Everyone stacked in the middle. So Atlanta didn't need to play Michael Parkhurst as a third center back because of what Philadelphia was doing. So they play him out on the left. You started to create chances. Your best chance off the crossbar came from a Michael Parkhurst ball down the left side. You moved pieces around, and it worked. That's something that cannot be lost in the shuffle here.
But this goes back to the overarching complaint about why isn't Frank rotating the squad. I think his options are more limited than what the critics are considering right now.
They are in certain spots.
And a lot of it has to do with Escobar being out. A lot of it has to do with Bello being out. You did see an attempt to rotate Tito Villalba into the squad tonight. You can draw your own conclusions on how that worked. Outside of that, Andrew Carlton, someone had pointed out on Twitter, why didn't we see more of him earlier? We don't know, but he did come in tonight. I kind of feel like Frank's doing about the best he can, and it goes back to this. Do you really think, all of you listening out there, that Frank DeBoer is coming into matches with any other intent than to play the best 11 players at his disposal at that time.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's obviously trying to win every match he's in. I think the other part of it is that he is getting to know these players, what they can, what they can't do in match conditions. You can watch tape all you want from the last 2 years. You can watch training sessions. You need to see firsthand how players react. You need to see how they react when you do change things up, because Frank DeBoer does not want to have one way to play and that's it and not change anything. The talk about him being inflexible, I think, if you've paid attention to the last two matches, would show, no, he's moving things around in game from 3-3, 1-3, 3-4-3, 4-4-2, 4-2-3-1. He's moving pieces around to try to get a result in each match.
Joey Logan, it is still too early to tell what the best 11 is. Desperately need width down the left side. Gressel can cover his side, and that might be a typo. Miles has been the MVP for the opening games. He is the center back going forward.
You need to get more on the left, and Brekše has not given you that consistently enough. His best match was the second leg against Arediano. He hasn't met that standard since. Thought Mikey Ambrose did okay for you on the left against Monterrey. He got forward. He had a couple crosses. He was better than we had seen from Brekše in the recent matches. George Bello, I think, is the one who will give you more, but he hasn't been available since the first match. He played 60-plus minutes for ATL UTD2, was going to play against Monterrey, and was a late scratch.
Ricky Ricardo, please tell me this is going to be a much more lethal team after the international break. Hashtag, I want goals.
I do, too. And I think it is, if not right after the international break, by the time you get to New England and you have that additional bye week. I think that's the one where you're going to see the big leap with this team. You look at the guys who are going to be away on international duty. Andrew Carlton will be in Spain with the US U-20s. They play two matches, but they're in both in Spain, not much travel in between. Tito Villalba with Paraguay, he's headed up to New Jersey to train with Paraguay this week. They play at Red Bull Arena, then they fly across the country to play at Levi's Stadium. And Joseph Martinez goes to Madrid to play against Pity Martinez in Argentina next week. That's the only game for Venezuela. And then Argentina goes to Morocco to play.
Oh.
That's the tricky one, next the following Tuesday. So Pity Martinez, if he stays with Argentina for both of those matches, would be the one that is going to have the longest to go and probably get back last.
How did the Moroccan FA afford to send Argentina out there?
Unless it's all about the Benjamin, sir.
Reciprocal deal. That must have been quite a sturdy paycheck. Christopher Gersel, see how suddenly with Barco we're doing a lot more intricate one-touch passes and quicker rotation? That's what happens when you have a number 10 that has chemistry with his teammates.
Barco's played with Joseph Martinez more than Pity Martinez has played with Joseph Martinez. He understands the way Joseph plays, the things he wants. We're seeing Joseph evolve as well. I think Joseph is becoming much more of a complete player in the system, and that's going to be a good thing in the long run. Pity Martinez and Joseph are not on the same page right now. They're just not in the final third. That's a fact. Pity is forcing it. I think he's struggling. Again, it's flashes. It's not consistent play. With that trip, I would not be surprised with that trip if he goes to Morocco with Argentina, if he doesn't start in Columbus, because he's going to come back last. He's going to have, you know, the fewest amount of time training with the group. You would expect that you could see Ezequiel Barco, who will be here the whole time, play in that match and then move the other pieces around.
Tito, by the way, had some spectacular goals in both matches they played against Columbus last year. So if it's Tito, Barco, and Joseph up top for that match, you'd feel pretty good about it. One option that might not be at your disposal, at least not ideally, would be Andrew Carlton, because he's also being called into a international situation. Five-stripe Wildcat. I'm encouraged. Team has improved but looked tired, especially Rometty. Pitti had a few almost amazing plays.
Yeah, you look at the possession Atlanta United had, you look at their passing percentage, but then you really dig into where you saw some sloppy play, and to me it was tired legs. It's just a lack of sharpness. I thought Rometty, I mean, give the guy a ton of credit at the end, because he was on fumes and still doing what he could, but he was as poor as we've seen in possession in his time here in Atlanta. You just, and again, as we went back through the central midfield, you didn't have a lot of options. When Jeff Lorenowitz had a problem with his foot, and we'll know more next week about how long that might be, you couldn't pull Eric Rometty. You didn't have an option, and you kind of had to try to play around him in possession because he just didn't have the legs to do much.
I'm a little are we certain that Larenowitz had a foot injury?
That's what he said after the match.
He said so. Yes. Okay. All right. I thought it might have been a cramp.
Yeah,
but,
he said foot.
Okay. That is something we are going to have to keep an eye on. That would not be ideal if you lose Jeff for any amount of time. Jason Wright, what's the fix from here? What does Frank DeBoer need to do in the locker room and in training to create better chemistry and the connections that transition to the match?
What do you think?
Hey, everyone, go to Hilton Head for a week and come back.
Well,
seriously, I really think right now, we talked about Pitti.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's pressing.
Yeah.
Okay, I think he's pressing. I don't know if he feels pressure to do certain things.
I'm sure he does.
He probably does. It's a big price tag to bring him here. I think we've said for a week now that the best thing for Pitti Martinez is to go home. Even if he doesn't play in a fixture for Argentina, just to go home.
To go and train with the group.
Spend some time with Lionel Messi and the rest of that group. That's going to be good for him because it's a disconnection from here where he's struggling right now. Let's look at the rest of the guys. You're struggling right now. I mean, it's getting better, but you're still struggling. Sometimes, I mean, think about your own life in your office or in your personal life, relationships or whatever. Sometimes the best way to reinvigorate yourself, figure things out, is to disconnect yourself from what's causing you problems for a couple days. And that's why I say, if you're Frank DeBoer, hey, guys, 3 days off. You know, here's the number to the Westin and Hilton Head. Or here's the, I've got a great connection at Reynolds Plantation. Go play some golf. Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And then come back middle of next week ready to train. Because these guys need time to train together. And,
right.
And yeah, it hurts that you're not going to have Villalba or Pitti or Joseph for any of that. But I think you can still get through that.
Yeah, you can absolutely get through that. To say you can't work on anything in that time, you need to understand how teams work. There's plenty of opportunities to do things. There's going to be opportunities for other guys to show what they can do as well with the first team. Romario Williams will have an opportunity.
Yes.
He was not called into Jamaica. That has to burn him right now.
Yep.
He's been part of the Jamaican squad. They have a big CONCACAF Nations League qualifier that he was not brought in for.
He is coming off injury, although that injury happened a long time ago.
Yep.
In fact, I think if circumstances warranted, he probably could have played in the MLS Cup final. A couple more, and then we'll go to break. At GTUTD, Atlanta United's not far off at all. The last two games were much more our branded style of play. I could care less about formations for the most part. We simply did not finish some shots we normally finish. We will be okay. Still 93 points left to grab.
I honestly don't think, and people can come at me on Twitter as much as you want, I don't think formation's the issue right now. You're going to see a lot of different formations. That's how this team is going to play. It's how a lot of teams around the world play. Formation is not rigid. It's not a rigid thing anymore. You saw it here. You saw it on Wednesday against Monterrey. You have to be able to move the pieces around based off what you see in the opposition. The issue to me is in the final third, there's not enough penetration. We didn't get enough of that tonight. Barco brought some of that with his interplay. And sloppy passing at times in bad spots of the field. And that's been an issue for 3 years at different points, because when you're going to have this much of the ball, you're creating an opportunity to turn it over. It's that simple. At times, you've been a little too loose with the ball in dangerous spots. That's where you're at right now. I don't think you're that far off either.
One more from Steve. Good things this season. Miles Robinson, just wow. Barco is on another level this year. Gressel is precisely who we love and know. How does Captain and Larry have legs left? Everything is right there, just out of reach. The rest is going to help.
I really think the rest is going to help. Columbus will be interesting because they're playing well. We'll see how they do over the weekend when they play against Philadelphia. Atlanta has the weekend off. I really think it's going to be the trip to New England where we start to see things truly come together with this group.
That's right, because after you play Columbus, you have another bye. You have another week off, and then you'll go to New England in mid-April. And then you have some home games coming up after that, including Dallas, Colorado, back on the road. Then you get the weird road games. You have to play at SKC. That'll be really tough. Then you have that ridiculous road trip, Vancouver, Red Bulls, and RSL all in the span of 10 days. So, but you've got to take advantage of your time to rest, which starts tomorrow. We will have some quick thoughts on that Columbus match coming up 13 days from now, right after this. 1-1 the final tonight, Atlanta United and Philadelphia Union. You're on Star 94.1.
Full time! This is the Full Time Report on Star 94.1.
All right, some quick final thoughts here from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Atlanta United, Philadelphia Union playing to a 1-1 draw. Atlanta United does not play next weekend. Columbus Crew, their next opponent, does play next weekend in Chester, Pennsylvania, against Philadelphia, who will have Fabian back, by the way, after he sat out tonight with a red card. He was only suspended for one game. So Atlanta United gets really 13 full days to prepare for a match where Columbus will be on kind of a normal schedule. I don't think they're going to come into that match exhausted. But look, Atlanta United played Columbus pretty well last year, got two wins against them, nearly saw them in the playoffs. But Columbus was unable to get it done in the second leg of the conference semifinals against Red Bulls. Now they have a new manager with Caleb Porter. We'll see. I'm glad we're going back to Columbus because if for nothing else, we're getting Peruvian food. And the last time we ate there, we didn't think we'd ever come back to Columbus. So they saved the crew and now we'll go back.
Yeah, you don't normally think of Columbus as the hotbed for Peruvian food, but we got
really
kind of lucky.
It's really good. We found a good spot.
Yeah,
downtown Columbus.
Atlanta's handled Columbus really well. It was a different Columbus under Greg Berhalter. Caleb Porter is taking the Berhalter blueprint and I think making them a little bit more of a defense-first group, a little bit more of a counter-attacking group than they were in the past. That's what he did at Portland as well, and it led them to an MLS Cup win in Columbus over the Crew. So I want to see how the Will Trapp, our tour partnership, continues to work. Trapp will be away with the national team during that time. The U.S. has a couple of friendlies during the international break. I want to see if Robinho continues to replace Justin Merrim as he did this weekend. I thought Robinho looked very lively off the wing. Columbus hasn't been great this season, but they've been better than Atlanta so far, and they will have the home field advantage. Hopefully it's a good crowd on the 30th, and hopefully Atlanta continues the way they've played against the Crew historically.
And Atlanta needs something positive on the road. They haven't lost here at home across all competitions in 2019, but they are 0-3-0 in the three matches they have played on the road. We'll be back on Sports Radio 92.9. The game for that one 13 nights from now and the rest of the way in the 2019 season. 5:30, the pre-match show on Saturday, March 30th, 6 o'clock, the kickoff from Columbus. Really do want to give a big, big thank you to Ron Roberts, the program director of Star 94.1, for giving us a home over the last five matches through CONCACAF play and MLS play. But now we're back on 92.9, the game the rest of the way, and we will see you there 13 nights from now. For our producer, Dylan Matthews, our engineer, Miller Pope, and for Jason Longshore, I'm Mike Conti. The final again, Atlanta United and Philadelphia Union playing to a 1-1 draw, and we'll see you in 2 weeks on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
You've been listening to MLS action of Our Atlanta United. Tune in for complete match day coverage all season long.
Our Atlanta United are brought to you by Equifax, The Home Depot, Mercedes-Benz, AT&T, Piedmont Healthcare, and Country Financial. You've been listening to a special presentation of Atlanta United on Star 94.1.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.